Okay, we'll call the Committee on Environment, Climate, and Legacy to order. Let the record show, right now it's 3:10, and today is April 25th, 2024. First, I want to thank our staff before everything else, in case I forget at the end. You know, we are at the reaching point of our environment supplement budget bill. So I want to take this time to thank our staff, you know, Mr. Mueller, Mr. Stanley, and our page, CJ Larson, Michaela, Olivia, and also our assistant here, CA, Ms. Josephson and Ms. Vu, and also Mr. Fisher, who is assistant to our vice chair here, and also Mr. Greg Exley and our researcher, Cassie Tomadoff. And thank you, all of you, making sure that we are on track with this bill. So members, I also thank you too, but today in front of us is the environmental supplement budget bill where we heard it last week, where we went through it and also had public testimony. So today is the markup of the bill. I want to make today's time the best use of our time, and so as we go through amendment, I'd like to make sure that each of you who want to speak get a chance to speak, but preferably once, so that we can move along with this bill and get it done today. So here we are, first and foremost, I want to state that we have quorum at this moment. We have two members that's online in pursuant rule 12.1. That is Senator Eichhorn and Senator Wiesenberg. So next on our agenda is for me to move the amendment, the lead all amendment, which you already heard last week, the A7 amendment. So any question on the amendment so far? This is the language that we heard last week that Mr. Miller explained. So with that, I move that we adapt the A7 to Senate File 3887. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion prevail. Okay, there's two technical amendment that I will be the author of it. The first amendment here is Amendment A15, and Mr. Mueller can walk through the amendment for us.
Mr. Chairman and members, the A15 amendment contains a number of technical fixes for the A7 amendment and a couple of sections that will be added that were unintentionally left out. I'll go through the A15 amendment sort of in blocks of lines describing each item. Lines 1.3 and 1.4, it deletes some repetitive language in one of the riders that stated it was a one-time appropriation. Lines 1.5 through 1.8 is just correcting some amounts for tails. It was an agency appropriation and just corrects the right totals for the agency. Lines 1.9 corrects a amount that's in the tails of a rider for the DNR. Lines 1.10 through 1.11, it moves one of the appropriations from to the DNR that was going to happen in the second year. It moves it to the first year. And then lines 1.12 through 1.14 adjust some of the appropriations that are dealing with the minerals management account based on an updated fiscal note from the DNR. So it increases a couple appropriations and it decreases another, but this all comes from the minerals management account. And again, it's based off an updated fiscal note that wasn't available when we put the bill together. Lines 1.15 changes a reference within a Bowser appropriation, references the board instead of the commissioner. Lines 1.16 through 1.28 adds the section in the bill that would increase the registration fees for off-road motorcycles. This was included on the spreadsheet, and the intent was to have the section in the bill. It was just unadmittedly left out. The last part of the amendment are on page 2. It adds a new section in the bill, just updating a when a report is due. It's a technical change. And also for, on page 3, section 25 also changes the date for a when a report is due. And I want to add one more thing. It'll be to have this also included into the technical amendment would be page 12 after line 6, insert effective date. This section is effective the day following final enactment. This was to make sure the appropriations to the DNR are effective the day following final enactment, since there will now be a fiscal year 24 appropriation in the bill. So that change or that addition would be incorporated into the A15 amendment.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Mueller. Any questions from members? And I want to see if the DNR want to speak on this amendment, or if not, you're good. Okay. Any questions from members? Okay. So I move that we adopt the A15 amendment to the bill. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion prevail. Thank you for saying aye. Okay. Next is the another author amendment. It's a technical amendment as well. From the DNR, Mr. Meyer, you want to speak in regard to the 831 amendment?
Mr. Chairman, this is a technical amendment that is correcting a piece that I just found this morning. Actually, it was a bill that we did last year changing registered owner to current owner for moving titles and things like that. If I call it the one piece at a time, like Johnny Cash truck or whatever vehicle you have that doesn't have a title. We forgot one section, so it's correcting that section. So thank you for doing that for us.
Okay, any questions from members? Okay, I move that we adapt the 831 to Senate File 3887. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevail. Okay, next is any amendments from members? Senator Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer the A10.
Okay, Senator Morrison has the A10 amendment. Okay, Senator Morrison, to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment is primarily a technical amendment to everyone's favorite bill, the Packaging Waste and Cost Reduction Act, or EPR. This amendment includes the following. It'll exempt packaging that contains hazardous or flammable products, exempts packaging for paint that's already properly collected and managed through our existing paint care stewardship program. It clarifies that the bill does not mandate weekly collection for recycling, and it also adds to the commissioner's report to the legislature a review of how exemptions are affecting the program. There are a couple of minor cleanup items. Food packaging is also limited to residential consumers. And that's the gist of the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Any questions from members? Senator Green.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and to the author of the amendment,
Without trying to page through the bill in the short amount of time we have, can you go through lines 1.15 through 1.23, where you're changing may elect to and insert must? You're deleting language that in this that would change it from being, I don't want to use the word voluntary, but elective to must. So what is that on page 81? And then on down through the equivalent versus comparable.
Senator Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Green. That was an error in wording. It must was the intention to keep the intent of the bill consistent.
Senator,
well, Mr. Chair, but what is it pertaining to on page 81?
Mr. Mueller. Mr. Stanley, sorry.
Mr. Chair, Senator Green, members, the draft right now requires that service providers who want to seek reimbursement under the program register with the commissioner. And this change that you're asking about on line 15 of the amendment was a case where earlier language said that a person could register if they so chose, but the bill has since become one that requires registration in order to get reimbursement. So this is conforming this line 81, line 15, with other parts of the bill.
Okay, Mr. Chair, then, like I said, if I had time to go through it, I would do that, but I think we're gonna be short. So maybe on lines 1.18 and 1.19, where it changes the equivalent, deletes equivalent and inserts comparable, what is that referring to?
Mr. Stanley, do you want to?
Mr. Chair, Senator Green, there's a number of places in the bill, and you'll see that those are being changed in a couple different places in this amendment, where it's required that services, there's a reference in the bill to services being provided at an equivalent level of convenience, and this is changing that to a comparable level of convenience. So I think the way you describe this is it is a similar concept, but slightly different choice of words.
Okay.
Senator Green.
Okay.
Okay. All right, all in favor, and Senator Morrison, A10 amendment, say aye.
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 Oppose?
No.
Okay, motion prevail. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I have the, if it's either located as an A34 amendment or an A7 amendment, I think it's the A34. Is that correct, Mr. Stanley? That is correct.
Okay.
And I want to.
Senator Hoffman has the A34 amendment.
People are passing it out. I want to thank Senator Morrison for her work on this. Really is been really universal and inclusive, and I appreciate that. And members, as you see this, this takes out a paper mill that produces container board derived from 100% post-consumer recycled content and non-post-consumer recycled content. And the rationale, Mr. Chair and members, is LDI, which is an organization that is runs a mill in Becker, Minnesota, and it uses 100% recycled content in its production of paper products. This new Section 5 that you're looking at, it really exempts that mill from any other uses that uses 100% recycled paper during manufacturing. And there's two box plants. There's one in Golden Valley and one in the beautiful town of Brooklyn Park. If anybody's ever been there, it's worth taking a visit there. We got the best kind of food you can have. And those shops are union shops, Mr. Chair. And they those both plants use at least 70% recycled content in the manufacturing of the boxes, right? The items manufactured there are also sold to businesses, not to residential consumers, businesses only. As such, it's my understanding, and Senator Morrison, that the bill is not intended to capture manufacturers like Liberty that aren't covered because they have mills that use 100% recycled material to manufactured paper that is sold into the commercial wholesale market. This amendment really intends to really clarify that the intermediate parties that sell things like feedstock or commercial packaging are not in fact captured under this bill, while the producer that later provides them to residential consumers. And therefore, that amendment clarifies that section of it, Mr. Chair, and I really would appreciate your support on that. So thank you. And thank you, Senator Morrison.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Senator Hoffman. I just heard about this about a few hours ago, and I appreciate you brought it up. But let's go to Senator Green. Is it okay, Senator Green first, or Senator Green?
Yeah, thank you for that, Mr. Chair. To the author of the amendment, did you personally talk to these businesses, and do you know if this doesn't go in, did they say what it would cost them as far as a percentage of their profits at the end of the day?
Mr. Chair and Senator Green, absolutely. I've talked to those businesses. I personally know them, and I have two people here that, you know, if we wanted to ask that question to them, the financial side of it, they could be more than happy to answer that. But that the folks also talked to Senator Morrison, who was the author of this bill, and that's the compromise that they came to, and I like that. So, yes, I have personally talked to them.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, the reason that I'm asking is because a lot of these businesses, as well as other businesses, not just ones that use recycled paper, don't run on huge margins.
Right.
And so if we're gonna exempt these folks from doing this, because it could damage a valuable business, then the rest of the bill needs to be looked at too, as far as what's it going to cost these businesses, because all these costs will definitely be passed on to the consumer. So I'd like, I don't want to sit and belabor it here, but I would like to know on these particular businesses, if you could get me the numbers on what this bill, if they're not exempted, would cost their bottom line.
So. Absolutely. So Mr. Chair, and to Senator Green's point, I will absolutely have a follow-up with you on that with JR and the team. They'll come and personally come visit you. Let's go to Manoman to go visit him, shall we? So I appreciate that. No, seriously, I will get that for you. So thank you, Senator.
Okay, Senator Morrison, do you have any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Hoffman, for offering the bill or the amendment. I was in conversation with LDI this afternoon as well, and they've been engaging with us in the process. They're not entirely exempted, but right. This specific part does make sense because they're doing what we're intending the bill to do. So we have ongoing conversations as we try to find our way forward to a place where Minnesota can really make headway in decreasing its waste stream so that we can decrease the amount we're sending to landfills and the amount that we're incinerating, decrease methane emissions, use less plastic, recycle, reuse, and compost more. So I would accept this as a friendly amendment. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. Any other question? Okay, then Senator Hoffman moved that we had to have the 834 to Senate File 3887. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion prevail. Any amendments, Senator Green?
And Mr. Chair, I have the A23 amendment. Looks like they're going to be delivering it now.
Okay.
I can explain it while it's being passed out, and folks can read it. Up in the top part of my district, up in a little town called Williams, there's an old school there. It's been there for years and not being used. It's a state building. It belongs to the state right now. And it's become, or for the last several years, it has been a hazard. There is likely asbestos in it. Along with the fact that it's just falling down, it's become a detriment to the area, and like I said, a safety hazard to the folks. They've tried many times to get the state to come in and clean it up, and they are unwilling. And so what this amendment simply does is says if this is going to be state property, then we need to turn it over to the state agency and let them deal with it instead of the local people having to be concerned over the safety of their of their residence. And so that's what the bill does. It just gives the, turns the ownership of the Williams School over to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency.
Thank you, Senator Green. I'd like to ask the MPCA to come and speak on this, give us some background information. Welcome, Mr. Kudvica. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Kirk Adelka. I'm Assistant Commissioner with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Mr. Chair and committee members, the property in question here is a property that's gone tax forfeited and is under the oversight of the county. We had looked into this to see if there are any issues in terms of contamination and did not find anything that was a current present issue. This is an older building, as mentioned, that does have asbestos and other things to be taken care of. The idea of the state owning such property, we don't own such property as old buildings or anything else like that. It looks like the amendment here, just seeing it right now, would turn this over to the state. And we don't have a process, the MPCA, to own or to take care of old buildings such as this.
Senator Green.
Mr. Chair, this is kind of a funny argument because when land goes tax forfeit, it automatically goes back to the state. Now, in certain cases, the county does have some options there, but in this particular case, because of the basically the pollution or the hazardous waste that is, and also potentially could be more on this building, it's just not possible for the county to pick up the tab on it. And so with the numerous attempts that they've had to make the state deal with this, what this is doing in this amendment is an attempt to say, look, if the state is going to own this property and we can't clean it up the way you want, then you take care of the property. It is yours. And so I think this is a reasonable amendment. There's just been going on too long. I think there's also a liability to the state here should someone go in this building and get hurt. It's been abandoned for a long time, and so I think this is something that needs to be done. There's not really a cost to this to the state. It's just simply a conveyance of the property, and then the state can decide what they want to do with it at that time.
Senator Hauschau.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks, Senator Green. You know, on the previous amendment, we just got done talking about how we're exempting one thing and we should look at the broader challenges. I mean, I think I have a school in Hoyt Lakes that is also tax forfeited, that's owned by the state, that's being managed by the county. I've been in several conversations with them, finding them resources to do that. And last year we provided historic CPA increases in the tax bill that provides counties money for the things that we sort of ask them to do, right? That's kind of part of the deal with our local governments. I think to do a special carve out for this school and not for Hoyt Lakes and not for, I'm sure there's probably, you know, several other schools and other tax forfeited land throughout the state that we could just shove on the agency, but that doesn't seem like a very well managed process. So I don't think this is the right way to go about it. I think the counties are the closest to these tax forfeited properties and need to be able to manage them. Now, can we as a state try to get them resources? Certainly, but handing it off to the MPCA, I don't think is the right approach.
Senator Green.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Hauschau, I disagree with you because if the if your school has already been taken care of, that's great. If it's not, I'll accept a friendly amendment to put it in with this one. But these are state properties. There's erroneous regulations that come with taking care of them, and those regulations are coming from the Pollution Control Agency. That's who's imposing these. And with the bill we have before us, the power of the Pollution Control Agency and the other agencies is increasing greatly. And so if they're going to be mandating this, then on other businesses or entities, county units, then they should be responsible for the state portion of that property. So I still think it's a reasonable amendment, Mr. Okay. Chair. And I'd ask for a roll call.
Thank you, Senator Green. Just also want to say that liability could be an issue here as well. Mr. Kodeka, you want to comment further, and then we can cast our vote.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I can supply a letter from August 14, 2013, where we did review sampling at the location there, and we noted the current site conditions did not appear to represent a risk to human health or to the environment. We have not asked for any additional work to be done at this point, other than what is generally required of any other building and continuing its ongoing maintenance. I'll be happy to provide that to that. As a result, though, the agency is not in a position to take on abandoned buildings. We agree that the issue of abandoned building is a larger issue, along with cleaning up other solid waste issues, and have worked in the past with counties on a potential grant program along those lines, but we are not able to take on this and would oppose the amendment at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much, and thank you, Senator Green. I know you're very caring about the site in your area, but at this point, I would voice my non-support to this bill. So, to your amendment, but like, since you asked for a roll call, we'll go ahead with the roll call. And so, roll call for the A23, Senator Green, A23 amendment.
Chair Herr?
No.
Senator McEwen?
No.
Senator Eichhorn?
Eichhorn votes yes.
Senator Green?
Yes.
Senator Housechild?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Kunesh?
No.
Senator Lane?
Aye.
Senator Morrison?
No.
Senator Wiesenberg? Senator Wiesenberg?
Yes.
Okay, the vote is now 4 aye and 6 nay. The motion for A23 does not prevail. Okay, any other amendment? Senator Housechild.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I have the A33 amendment.
The A33 amendment.
And maybe while it's being passed out, I can just briefly describe it. This would add two individuals to the Critical Materials Recovery Task Force, one being a representative from an electronics manufacturer that operates e-waste recycling programs and is also an electronic retailer. And then the second one is a representative from the Natural Resources Research Institute in Hermantown. But it says Duluth. It's in Hermantown, I promise.
Do you have to testify with this, or can the MPC, yoga?
I don't have any testimony, Mr. Chair, but certainly we could have somebody.
Good with this addition? Welcome, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Tom Johnson, Government Relations Director for the MPCA. The agency has no issue with this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion? With that, we'll move to adopt the A33, Senator Housechild, A33 amendment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevail. Certainly.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I have a very similar amendment to Senator Housechild. It's the I'm looking at his amendment now. It is the A21 amendment.
Okay, A21 amendment.
And I did have it's a very Senator similar. Lane. It's an addition to, I had a big speech wrote up here where I was going to add the 14th member, but we just did. The 14th to 15th, so I guess this would be the 16th member on the Critical Materials Recovery Task Force. So this would add one representative from the Minnesota Recovery Association, which, this was one that I have talked to Senator Housechild about in the past. The Recovery Association does represent about a third of Minnesota counties when it comes to their solid waste management and recycling needs. So it's a substantial add to this task force, and hopefully you can all support it.
Okay. All right. I just want to get whether a thumbs up from MPCA. You don't have to come back to the table, but if it's good, okay. All right. So any comment or question? Senator Hauschild.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Lang. I know we did briefly talk about this. I'll just be completely honest. I have not had a chance to kind of talk to folks who are involved in this initiative with this specifically. I know the MPCA is saying that they don't have any issues. You know, I'm willing to support it right now, but I think maybe it's just a work in progress. I do just want to continue to have conversations.
Okay. I will note that as well. All right. So Senator Lane moved that we adopt the A21 amendment to Senate File 3887. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion prevail. Okay, any other amendments? Senator Lane?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do have the A22 amendment as well. And well, that's, I think.
Okay, A22, you may speak to your amendment.
It looks like they're handing that out too. This is, Mr. Chair, I appreciate the conversation earlier today. Same with Commissioner Meyer, conversation the other day about the aggregate resource inventory. This is something that I believe the agency, I'm looking for a thumbs up, believes is a decent idea. There is some question, however, to the funding. If the DNR would like to comment to the funding, we could adopt it in this way and then look at it further in the future, or you know, I'd be open to an oral amendment to funding source.
Mr. Bob Meyer.
Mr. Well, Chairman, members of the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner of DNR. Senator Lang, thank you. We did have a nice conversation about this. I've also spoken with Senator Herr as well. The work to determining where our aggregate resources are extremely important, so we don't build neighborhoods or things on top of them, and then we're going to need them into the future. The concern we have is just the funding source using Heritage Enhancement Account dollars. It's kind of a gray area. We're concerned about slippery slope effect on that. I know these have been funded by the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund previously, so we're working with Senator Lang on that. That's our only concern is the funding source, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Senator Lang, do we have a suggestion where we're going to take the funding?
Mr. Chair, I guess this time we could, I'll kind of follow your lead. We could either change that on a verbal amendment, or we could adopt it as being with the intent of taking a closer look at it in the future. So I'd actually follow your lead on that.
Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman and members, as Mr. Meyer mentioned, the Heritage Enhancement Account has similar restrictions on it like the Environment Natural Resources Trust Fund, and that fund has funded this similar proposal before. At least from the statutory standpoint, I think it works to have it come from this account. I mean, long term, there may be some other issues other people have with it, but I think strictly looking at statute, this fits within the statutory authority of this count.
Okay, well, we will not do roll call and we just vote. And I'll work with you on that further if any change of language. So all in favor of Senator Lane, A22 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion prevail. Any additional amendment? Senator Hauschild.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the A32 amendment.
A32 amendment. Senator Hauschild, to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What this does, it's pretty simple. A lot of key fobs that many of us use for, well, greater Minnesota members, if you have an apartment or anyone that lives in a multi-use building, you might have a key fob that gets into your building or other purposes. And many of those fobs contain a very small amount of lead that are wrapped in a plastic casing. And so this is just an amendment that would basically allow for that to be essentially exempted if it's currently an unavoidable use, which in this case would be. So it would allow the MPCA to sort of determine that unavoidable use.
and happy to have the MPCA comment if they would like.
Yes, I'd like to invite MPCA to come over for the comment. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Kirk Adelka, Assistant Commissioner with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. I just want to quick look through this here. The prohibitions that were passed last year through the legislature, and we appreciate the support of it, is not only to address where it is of ability for folks to have it being present and interacting with a person, but also in our solid waste stream. We're very concerned about things such as lead getting into our waste energy facilities or landfills and what that means to the passing on to the environment. This talks about here the use of key fobs and currently unavoidable uses. I think we would want to have some more conversations on what that looks like. We are aware of a number of different types of lead-free solder as we move through this process to determine whether or not that would meet this need, given that there are alternatives already. So we do have concern about putting in exemptions into the law. We'd like to have more conversations on the issue with you and the industry, but do have some concerns on just creating these exemptions without having more time to look at them.
Okay, thank you. So we can put this as a placeholder, your amendment.
If you're willing to, Mr. Chair, that would be great, and we can certainly continue the conversation.
Okay. All right, then members all in favor for the House Child A32 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Okay, motion prevail. Any additional amendment? Well, looks like we're good.
Mr. Then. Chair.
Yes. Senator Eichhorn.
I do have one small amendment that I would like to offer on behalf of Senator Farnsworth. So I'd like to offer the A9 amendment. It's a pretty simple amendment, so while it's being passed out, if you'd like me to describe it, I could do that.
Okay. The A9 amendment has been passed out right now.
All right. Perfect. Chair, so we talked about the Hill Annex State Park earlier, as that's transitioning from being a public park. There's some concern with what would happen to that after mining is done again. So what this amendment would do would develop, it would direct the Commissioner of Natural Resources to develop an advisory task force that would include representatives from the Western Mesabi Mine Planning Board, the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board, and the Office of School Trust Lands to develop options for future use of the Hill Annex property for submission to the Commissioner. The group must explore types and uses and management and development that would be suitable for the site's conditions after mining, and that would provide a benefit to the local and regional communities. So what this is trying to do is put that task force together so that the group of the right people can be together to discuss what can and should happen with this property after it is no longer being used for a mining purpose.
Thank you, Senator Eichhorn. Any question from members? Senator Housechild.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks, Senator Eichhorn. I also had a great conversation with Senator Farnsworth about this, and I think it makes a lot of sense for us to have stakeholders involved in sort of the process of what the mine reclamation would look like for this park, and I think the IRRRB being involved is very appropriate in Western Mesabi Mining Planning Board. I just want to make a point for those of you that haven't come up to the Iron Range to see some of the mine reclamation that has happened. It's truly some of the most beautiful parts of northern Minnesota, and you wouldn't have any idea that a lot of it is previous mine pits. And just some of the concepts that the IRRRB and other stakeholders have worked on with mine reclamation is pretty amazing to see. And I think this is just pretty cool to see that we went from a mine to a park. Now we're able to go back to a mine, and then we can go back to a park someday. And it just shows you how versatile the industry is and how we're able to value our natural resources, both from a recreation standpoint and from a need standpoint. So just appreciate the amendment from Senator Eichhorn. I'm very supportive.
Thank you very much, Senator Housechild. I just want to see if the NR can come and confirm this testimony.
Mr. Chair, if I could, just
and
to clarify.
And then Senator Hoffman, go ahead.
If the DNR could, maybe they need to set a study group before they do the task force in order to really see the valuation of the task force. If Mr. Meyer could answer that question, that would be great.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, members, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner of DNR. Senator Hoffman, I think we need a study group to form the study group for the task force, but we'll work on that for the floor. This is language that we've worked with Senator Farnsworth and the Western Mesabi Mine Planning Board on, and we do support. Just one thing, it doesn't predetermine it's going to be a state park. It may be a state recreation area, such as over in Crosby area, things like that. It makes sure that we're going to look at what the future uses are going to be once that activity is ceased. So thank you so much for the support.
Okay. So, Hoffman, any further comments?
I was going to ask him if we could do muskie fishing too on the lake of water that's there too, but I'll just leave that for the thing, Chair. No, I like what they're doing here. It really makes sense, so I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, so all in favor of Senator Eichhorn A9 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Aye. Okay, motion prevail. Okay, any other amendments from members? Okay, well, thank you. You have made my job, or our job, easy. Just want to see if any members from the audience want to speak in support of the bill or provision, or speak in opposition in some provision or the bill itself. Okay, so we're good. So member, we are now, well, thank you. Thank you all members. We are now motion that we're gonna move Senate File 3887 as amended, and I will be the one that do that. Members, I move.
Mr. Chair. Are we going to move it for discussion, or are we going to, or we have discussion move. First?
I re-asked for discussion, but you...
asked for amendments, so I was waiting for discussion.
Okay. So we're done with all the amendment now, as it seems. So okay. Now I'm just asking members of the audience or our members here to make comments or in oppose or in support. So Senator Green, you have the floor.
Well, I have a few questions, Mr. Chair, and I'll direct them toward you, and you can send them where you want, except for I will have a question for the MPCA. And they're really simple questions, and I'm still going through a lot of it and trying to dig in myself. But on the first page of the bill, you've got $3 million, and it's for environmental justice areas, and I'm wondering where they are. I mean, is there... Do you have a list of them? Are they in the metro, or is this going out to Greater Minnesota? Is there a place where this is designated to go?
Senator Green, I can't answer you that, but I think MPCA will have better information if I can call MPCA on board to answer your question about the funding for environmental justice. Am I correct? Where does it
it's kind of vague, and a lot of things in the bill are a little vague. And so if I don't get the answers here, maybe you can get them by the time we get to the floor. Mm-hmm. But it just says that there's money going into environmental justice areas, but it doesn't really specify, and talks about air regulatory, and what does that really mean, and how are they going to measure it, where are they going to measure it. It's a lot of money to go out there, and I don't even really know what it's going for or where it's going to.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Frank Koldash. I use the him pronouns. I'm Assistant Commissioner for Air and Climate Policy at the Pollution Control Agency. Senator Green, thank you for your question. We do have a definition for that was adopted in numerous statutes last year, in particularly the cumulative impacts analysis law includes a definition of environmental justice areas. We also have that in the 100% clean electricity bill as well. It's the same definition for the state. I don't have the exact language on those, but it incorporates certain percentages of low income So it looks at people of low income, it looks at people of color, it looks at English as a second language or English proficiency, and then it also looks at Indian country or Indian lands included in that. We're working out the details on creating the maps, but that would apply statewide. That language, the definitions of environmental justice applying statewide, but it was adopted in laws last year in 2023.
And Senator Green.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and I realize that I know what it is, but you're looking at doing air regulatory programming, and so I was wondering if you knew where that was going to be. Are you going to do it in every single area, or if you have specific sites that are targeted? That was my question. I think you answered it by saying you don't really know yet. So.
Senator Green, I think at the environmental justice area, we have the language right here. The council can read it off for you. So,
Mr. Chair, Senator Green, I was just going to say that I do have the statute in front of me. If it would be helpful, I can tell you what the environmental justice area definition is. But it sounds like maybe your questions have moved beyond that. So.
Right.
Unless you want me to do that, I will.
No, that's okay, Mr. Chair. I know what the definition is. I'm just wondering if there was targeted places where they were going to go and if they knew that yet or if this is just, and I think I got my answer. But as long as he's there, Mr. Chair, if
go
I
ahead,
can continue. I've got more questions on this, but for right now, you've got approximately $4 million for legal services. And I wanted to know if you have specific projects, or I don't know what the exact word is, but things that you're working on, or is this kind of a buildup of funds to get ready for something that you're anticipating coming? So do you have uses for that money right now, or is it just kind of give it in case we want to sue somebody?
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, for the record, Tom Johnson, Government Relations Director for the MPCA. Senator Green, it's a good question. The pot of money, the $5.5 million that the agency requested in the governor's budget, and then the slightly reduced amount that's in the bill here, represent the $5.5 million in the GovRec represents the total legal risk that's currently facing the agency. So that's for ongoing litigation that's currently happening. So we have a pretty good idea of what the financial risk is to the agency, and then there are other pieces, such as Attorney General, the work that is sent to the Attorney General's office and referred over there. We do pay the Attorney General's office to represent us, or also outside counsel. In many cases, we will pay if there's a reason to do so or a need to do so. So those are the types of issues that are facing us. Facing the agency in the coming year, and would be the $5.5 million represents that total amount.
Senator Green.
Mr. Chair, and then, so one of the reasons I asked this is I know that that the state of Minnesota is actually, if they're not already, going to pursue a larger lawsuit against some oil companies. And I'm wondering if some of this money was for that, or is this that going to be separate?
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Green, there is nothing in that $5.5 million nor the $4 million that is slated to be used for that type of lawsuit, to my knowledge.
Okay.
Senator Green.
Yeah, and then as long as you're there, we have the monitoring trailer for $1 million, and that's a lot of money for a trailer, and I was wondering if you could explain that to me. What's that going to do? Where are you going to monitor? How does it monitor? Is it for 1 year? Is it an ongoing issue? Or just give us some background on that monitoring trailer.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, happy to start out, and then Assistant Commissioner Kolash can help with details if there's further questions. But the issue right now is regulatory monitors themselves are expensive. They're very sensitive instruments, and they currently are stationary. And so we currently need to place them with access to power. There needs to be access to land and a number of other factors sometimes there's land permits required for from the local municipality. So the idea to create a mobile monitoring trailer would not only include those expensive sensitive monitoring instruments, but also a power source generator. And then there would be the actual staffing involved with that as well, and the physical trailer and a vehicle to pull it. So those are the reasons why there's $1 million. The 500,000 of it is one time, and the 525, I believe, or 535 ongoing is the staff costs to run the trailer. As for where we would be using it, it would really just depend on issues that arise, either community concerns or you know, issues that we're having with an enforcement case and want to be responsive quickly, where it might take too long to place a stationary permanent regulatory monitor. We would get the trailer out there right away to make sure we're getting an understanding of the emissions.
Senator Green.
Mr. Chair, then on that trailer, one more question on the trailer part of it. Because it's going to be mobile and you're going to be able to go set up wherever you want, is there going to be notification to the entities that you're going to be testing, or will you be able to just get a complaint and go in and set up? Because there's a lot of power, again, given to the agencies and specifically the MPCA in this. That's very, very disturbing. And so would there be notification on when and where you set this up?
Mr. Acosta.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Green, to your question, if we were going to be working with a facility, we probably are going to be doing that either because we are engaged, as Mr. Johnson mentioned, on an enforcement case where we want to know more specifically about what is the air pollution that the community is being exposed to. We may also be deploying this monitor in response to community questions about particular facilities. And the mobile trailer allows us to be able to be more nimble and move that. As far as notifying facilities, we would they would likely be involved and know about the trailer being used because in many cases, if we're going to be focused on a facility, it's because we are in discussions, either an enforcement case or we're wanting to know what the emissions from a particular facility are. And we want to make sure that they understand, as well as the community understands, that we are out there, we're monitoring what we're going to be monitoring for, when the data will be available, where the data will be available, and then also be available for everyone to have access to the agency to explain the data and understand the data, what it's telling us, and what we can do with that data moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kolesh and Mr. Johnson. Okay, any member in the audience want to speak in support or against this bill before I move? Refer it to the next committee. Welcome, Ms. Erickson.
Mr. Chair, my name is Jim Erickson. I represent 5 regional residential environmental learning centers in the state, and I'm here to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Housechild, and the other members of the committee, the very fine words that you all had, Senator Morrison, particularly for the Outdoor School for All. The schools I represent serve about 20% of the state's middle school children. Our objective through starting this program is to increase that, like Oregon did, to some 80%. We have a long way to go, but thank you for the start, Mr. Chairman, and I know I'm speaking on behalf of many people in the audience are here to thank you for your bill and for what you're doing. So it's not often we get the chance to say that, and we're here to do that. So thank you for all that.
Thank you, Mr. Harrison. It's a good bill, Senator Housechild, Senator Morrison, Senator Hoffman, and everyone. All right, well, if no testimony, then I will move that we recommend it to pass, and we refer to the Senate Finance Committee, Senate File 3887, as amended. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Well, thank you very much for your involvement, and thank you, members in the audience, as well. So with that, meeting's adjourned.